There's not enough being said and taught and lived about being an heir of God, the inheritance that we have.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Bill Winston and learn about the inheritance you have as a child of God. Find out how growing in the things of God allows you to receive all He has for you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I can't wait no longer. Let's get into this thing. Bill Winston is here. Would you join me in welcoming this man of faith? Praise the Lord. I don't want to take no other time to do nothing else. I want to get in here. Because what you were talking to me about right before they turned the camera on. Let's go back over here at the 8th chapter of Romans, where we've been all last week and then yesterday. The earnest expectation of the creation waits for manifestation of the sons of God. And then those that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can be a son and be rebellious, and even though you're kin to the Father, you're not after the Father because you've separated yourself from His business and His affairs. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you live your life as a son of God. Now, this 17th verse, if the 16th, the Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with the anointed one and His anointed. I'm believe beyond anything, that's the reason the Holy Ghost used the word Christ there instead of the word Jesus.
That's right.
Because He's talking about not just being joint heir with Him, but with everything that's His that came from being raised from the dead. Now, there's not enough being said and taught and lived about being an heir of God, the inheritance that we have. Most people want to put it off till they get to heaven. Well, now, let me ask you something, Bill. My dad, A.W. Copeland, I'm only son, only child in that family. So I was the only heir. Well, no, but let me ask you. When do I get the estate? When do I get the what He has left in His will? When I die or when He dies?
When He dies.
Well, ain't He already died?
Yes, sir.
Hasn't Jesus died?
Yes, He is.
The fact that He's raised from the dead doesn't stop the fact that He died. Right. It just means He is raised from the dead to probate His own will.
That's right.
So it's not after we die and go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Not enough being said about this, Brother Bill.
There's a scripture over in Hebrews chapter 1, Brother Copeland. Let's look at that for just a minute. This scripture here is dynamite. It's a powerful scripture. And He said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, whom also He made the world. I looked that up in the Charles B. Williams translation, and it said this, has made Him lawful owner of everything.
Praise God, and I'm joint heir with that.
There you go. Now, this has got to be preached.
Wow.
And then we see where Paul took that, and he put it in the letter to Corinthian church.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
Absolutely is what he's talking about.
I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews. He's the only one qualified to write,
this. I believe he wrote this. I'm firmly convinced. And now you go back to 1 Corinthians then and chapter 3.
Wait a minute.
1 Corinthians and chapter 3.
Okay.
Because he's the lawful owner of everything, but yet we're a joint heir with him for everything. And now it says here in verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Now, do words mean anything? You know what the problem is?
What is it?
There ain't nobody reading the will. We're joint heirs here.
Yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
And he has been made appointed.
That's right.
He has inherited all things. And I'm his joint heir.
See, now, and when it says all things, some people say, well, he's talking about all spiritual things.
Well, so what?
Well, so what?
That's where all material things come from, man. That's even bigger. All spiritual things, that's even bigger.
All things. Now we've got to get it. But the problem has been is that in Galatians chapter 4, let's go back over there again. And he said in Galatians chapter 4, that he said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And one of the translations says, master of the entire estate.
But he's not mature
he's
enough
not mature
to know
enough.
What to do with it.
And if you go on down there, he says, but is under tutors and governors and so forth and so on. And even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, this is interesting here, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And that word adoption there in the Greek, now I'm talking to a person who's a Greek scholar, it doesn't mean you're outside the family and have come in the family. It means you were in the family, but you were considered under a tutor because you were immature. And adoption means to come into the fullness of maturity.
Oh, I see something here. What it's talking about, let's say my father extremely wealthy person, owns lots of companies, lands, lots of employees. Mm-hmm. He affects the economy of the whole area, say. And I'm his son. And I've come of age. Well, I've been his son all the time.
That's correct.
But now he calls me in on my birthday, and he said, now, it's time for you to take responsibility for your equal part of this. Oh, I see that, Bill.
I remember it was a time I wouldn't give my son my car keys.
Oh, yeah. And John may be watching this right now. He knows exactly what you're talking about.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So we're saying here that even though these things are ours and God has given us an inheritance, but it will not be delivered unto us or passed on to us beyond our level of growth.
So it's time to grow up.
Absolutely. And that's why I think you don't see a lot of these things in the hands of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of them that are saved.
He's not going to just dump it on you without building you
no,
up.
No, sir.
And if you're not subject to that building
that's
you're
it.
Not going to walk in much
that
of
is
it.
Exactly right.
You know, I noticed this, Bill, over the years, and this answers some of this in my thinking. People would see the blessing of the Lord in our ministry. People see the blessing of the Lord in your ministry and get mad about it. I'm talking about Christian people.
Brother Copeland preaches.
Oh, just getting mad.
You know, this why get because, mad? Why get mad about it?
Yeah, as if God was doing something for me. Why would he do something for me? Because you a fool sitting there crying about it. That's exactly why. You can't cry your way into anything. This is a matter of growing up, and in order to grow up, there's some pressure going to come on you over a period of time.
And Brother Copeland, when you're growing up, that means you're coming off of a carnal mindset and coming into a spiritual mindedness. And when that happens, the carnal person, Paul describes him. He said, you run by your feelings, you're jealous, you're so forth. So as long as those folks are mad at you or me for just God blessing us, for us going through battles, winning, so forth and so on, then they'll never get there. You can't get there like that. And what you have to do is decide, wait a minute, I'm here, I'm a child. I'm just as much as a child as they are, and I have an inheritance. Now, what I need to do right now is I need to meet the qualifications for receiving that inheritance.
So what am I going to have to do? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments.
That's right.
So I'm going to have to order my lifestyle to what he said. If he said be cheerful, then I'm going to be cheerful. If he said tithe, I'm going to tithe. If he said give, I'm going to give. If he said walk in love, I'm going to walk in love. If he said walk by faith, I'm going to walk by faith. Yeah, but what if... Well, I mean, the yeah, but what if don't count anymore.
It doesn't count.
If I'm going to grow up here.
Remember, they was in that wilderness whining.
Eight out of ten
of them. And they never got into their inheritance.
Never got there.
Never got there. I had a guy that came to me, and he was a pastor, and bless his heart, he came to me after service. He said, Pastor Winston, I want you to forgive me. I said, what for? I was shaking people's hands after the service, and he said, I said some mean things about you. I said, well, praise God. I said, well, listen, brother. I said, do you know what did I do to provoke that? He said, I have no idea. I just kind of listened to some things and thought saying some mean things and so forth. And people talking about, you got this over here, and he's looking, he think he's all of that, and so forth. I said, brother, let me tell you something. I forgive you. Let me hug you. I said, it's all right. I said, we have to love one another. He said, I see that now. And Brother Copeland, he was very sincere about it. So see how the enemy, even though you're people born again, he uses their flesh to try to do things. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he's not going to stop doing that. You have to stop yielding to
that. There you go.
Because he's not going to stop doing
that's
it.
That's true.
He will stop doing it when Jesus kicks his sorry self into a hole and puts a lid on him. And I will rejoice because I'd like to see him hurt all he can possibly hurt, and hell's too good for him. But he's not going to stop that. I have to stop yielding to him and stop him from doing it to me. The only way I can do that is be led of the Holy Ghost, be led of the Word, put the Word final authority in my life, and go crosswise in my flesh. After a while, as you practice it, your flesh will train and grow up, because that's part of growing up.
That's part of growing up.
When John was a little old bitty boy, I set out to fellowship with him and to do things with him. Mm-hmm. And he's like me, anything that would shoot or go fast, he liked to hunt and go fast and, and fly and whatever it took. And so he was just a little boy. Well, I bought us shotguns just like them. We'd go out, shooting cans and whatever we could. Well, he could shoot just as good as I could. I mean, from the first day, when I showed him how it worked, he's so natural at it, and it wasn't long till he got to where he's a better shot than me. Mm. But we're walking along here one day on Gloria's grandfather's farm, and we're walking along here, and this biggest spider you have ever seen, that thing is big as your hand. I mean, a big, ugly-looking thing on the side of the barn. John said, look at that, boy. And he's fixing to shoot that spider. I said, no, boy, don't do that. He said, why? I said, because you blow a hole in the side of the barn, not head, not spiders. The spider's one thing, but he's sitting on the barn. Oh, well, you can't, even though he could shoot, he didn't see anything but the spider.
That's what I'm talking
so
about.
So you can't put
yeah.
a 8-year-old head on a 20-year-old job. I mean, that ain't going to work. And even though you got a 50-year-old man, he's still got an 8-year-old head. You can't put things in his hand because he don't see nothing like God sees it. So what God's looking for are the Joshuas and the Davids and the Calebs and the ones that can see through the eye of faith.
And you brought up something, Brother Copeland. You said you got these kind of people. You got a 55-year-old, 45 years, so forth. And you talked about that inheritance. Talk about that.
Well,
again.
If let's say they called us all in and all the heirs are called in and they're going to read the will and read the inheritance and how it's distributed and so forth. And at the table, we've got a 4-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 40-year-old and a 55-year-old. Well, if all things are equal, then it's going to start with the most mature.
Right.
And come down. Unless the oldest one is a fool.
Mm.
Well, if he's a fool, you ain't going to turn the thing over to him. You know what he's going to do.
Right.
So it's going to search out the most mature in the group. Because God looks on the heart. So when they all lined up in front of him, he looked at Eliab. No, Eliab's big and good-looking, but he turned out to be a coward. So you can't turn the nation over to him. So you come down the line, the youngest one down there with the most mature one in the whole bunch, he knew God, and so he became king. God turned his inheritance, his whole nation, over to this young man. Here's all of Joseph's brothers. Same deal there. You had to get down to the youngest one to find anybody that was mature enough that God could put the blessing through. It isn't because God thought more of him than he did any of the others. But God was looking for a channel for the blessing. Well, what do you got? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord brings abundance. You can't turn riches and abundance over to a fool.
I believe it'll kill him if you do. I mean, it'll wipe
the scripture
them out.
The scripture says money ruineth the fool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The church said money ruin everybody. No, it won't ruin the fool. And then it tells you all the things that a fool are, so don't be what a fool is. You get a fool's results. Now, for instance, I was visiting with Brother Hagin one day, and he said, you know, the scripture says that they that are spiritual restore him had sinned his life of problems and so forth. I said, Brother Hagin, why don't more churches do that? He said, well, it says those that are spiritual restores him.
Not spiritual.
That's
what's happening.
And the church is not famous for restoring its wounded. It's famous for killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not spiritual. They're not mature enough to prosper.
Lord.
In the times that we live in and all the financial things that are going on, I knew for years I've known that God was just propping up this economy because the thing wasn't based on his word, based on his laws, and they were getting further away from it instead of closer to it. So I kept, oh God, this thing has got holes in it, and it's shaking at its knees now. I mean, and I could tell all the years going by that he was propping it up because he needed it.
That's right.
And I said, Lord, what has been going on here? Well, I got earnest in praying about it here recently, more than I ever have been before. And he said, all these years, I have been looking for a people that I could turn the economy over to, and I didn't have any. And he said, it's only been in the last 50 years that I had a people that even believed God for a new car, much less sense enough to run a nation. He said, I'm not looking to run a nation in poverty.
That's it.
And if they ran it like they run the church, they believe more in poverty than they do in abundance. And he said, but I've got a people in the land now that'll rise up.
That's what's happening.
That at least are diligent in heart. And he said, if I can find a person that's diligent in heart and willing, he said, I can teach him how to do things. If he's willing and obedient, he said, I can prosper him and teach him what to do.
He'll put it into their hands, and they're led by the Spirit of God, and will do the right thing with it.
And not just squander it on themselves and on their own.
Exactly.
And I believe that's where we are right now. God's looking for a people right now. Not only in the United States, but around the world. Always has been.
So the problem with the world is the church.
Yeah.
I mean, the church has got to grow up and take their place in this world so that they can bring forth the culture of heaven into this earth. And they're supposed to let their light so shine that men will see their good works and glorify the Father.
That's God's plan all the way through this whole thing. Now, and if you take a good look at the habits of the church, and you just look at the structure of it, they put together a corporation, not patterned after the Bible, but after the world. And you put together that corporation, and then you structure it like a business. And then you invite businessmen to come in and run it. And you operate it the way you operate the world's economy, and then cry and bawl and squall trying to get God bless it. Where if you just go to his plan and do it his way, and you're going to run into this debt question real quick. Am I going to go bow my knee to some Babylonian out there and ask him for money enough to do God's work? There ain't no way in the world you get the blessing of God on that bit.
You know, this man said about Moses, and Jethro, as you know, came to Moses. And Moses said, now, if you keep doing that, you're going to wear yourself out. In other words, you ain't going to be here long. Moses had been trained in Pharaoh's system.
Yes, he had.
And he was trying to run his organization with that model. And Jethro was wiping him out. Wrong model. And folks have tried to import the world into the church and bring that model in there. And it's not working.
Jesus put it this way. He took that coin and he said, now, whose picture is on there? They said, Caesar. Then he said, now, that belongs to Caesar. But you give to God what's God's.
Now, they said, the gold and the silver is his.
We're out of time. My goodness. How do you deal with this? Well, go to the 16th chapter of John, the 13th verse. The Spirit of truth will come. He'll lead and guide you in all the truth. He'll show you things to come. He'll take what's mine and show it to you. You make yourself subject to him, and then you have the faith grit to put it into your life and not be willing to go back to that old Babylonian system, but to walk by faith. And Bill and I'll be back in just a moment.
With change erupting around the world and time nearing the end, a kingdom is arising. A people are growing stronger and taking their rightful place as the manifestations of the sons of God are about to transform everything.
We've got to come back to his way of doing things. We've got to grow up in the fullness of him so that we can tell the devil what to do.
Days of heaven are coming to earth through your life. Bill Winston's revolutionary teaching series, Manifesting the Sons of God, will take you to a new level. Develop a higher kingdom mindset. Rearrange the world around you to resemble heaven. Stop the devil in his tracks. take your place and grow up as God's representative in the world. The earth is about to take notice as believers everywhere become the manifestation of the sons of God. Order your copy of Manifesting the Sons of God on CD or DVD at a special price of just $15. Don't miss your opportunity to get this dynamic new series by Bill Winston that includes a bonus teaching called There's a King in You. For faster delivery, order through our website at kcm.org. For phone orders, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192.
Now you notice, Brother Bill and I get into these things and we get to flow in it, and then we have that time restriction on there. But now these, Manifesting the Sons of God, these CDs and DVDs, they are not of the TV broadcast. These were done in meetings, services, where there was not a time restriction. And the detail is there. That's the reason why these are so important. And the reason why it is just so real in my life, this is the way I got it, Bill. Yes. It wasn't good enough for me to go to one of Brother Oral's services or one of Kenneth Hagin's services. It just wasn't enough. I had to have weeks and weeks and weeks of it. Mm-hmm. I listened to it 24 hours a day. I got up to it. I went to bed with it. I put it in my car. You had to carry your tape recorder in the seat because you didn't have them back then in the car. But now you do. And you can build this in you. Then the quicker you grow, the more you grow, the more that inheritance is placed into your hands. And that's the reason why these things are being made available to you. So pray and take advantage of it. Praise God. Now, this ministry is available to you. Prayer is effective. It brings results. Prayer should be the foundation of every Christian endeavor. Christian failures are prayer failures. When the challenges come, sickness, disease, financial problems, healing, it's not a time to get into fear. It's time to get into faith. But you can't do it without the Word. Faith is coming by hearing the Word of God. Our headquarters, Fort Worth, Texas, is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with a prayer staff. We don't pay somebody else somewhere else to do the praying. They're trained and they're full of God and they're right here on this premises and they're available to you. And so we're here. Let me tell you this, too, before we go. When you call, you ain't never going to hear them hit you up for money or nothing like that. They do. They lose their job that day. I'm telling you right now, we got to go, Bill. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. Visit our website today at kcm.org and you'll find a resource of word-based teaching materials and study tools. kcm.org is available whenever you need it, day or night. You can watch today's broadcast in our media section or read faith-building articles to help you find biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.